Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Battle of the X's Tour Wrap-Up Show. I am Brian Cohen, and unfortunately, my co-host Allie could not be here tonight, but I am honored to be joined by Mr. Johnny Riley. So, Johnny, how are you?
Not bad yourself, guys. How's it going?
I'm doing good, and I was hoping we could talk a little later on in the season, but unfortunately, that is not the case.
I went ahead and got myself booted.
So we got a lot to talk about from everything that's happened this season. But I wanted to start with going into this season after coming off a year where it was one of the rare ones where it was an individual season, you were by yourself. What kind of adjustments did you have to make to now all of a sudden having a partner and a partner that is your ex?
It was dramatic. It was a, you know, opposite end of the spectrum. I mean, Free Agent was a solo game where I had nothing to worry about besides myself. There was no anxiety, there was no stressors, there was no outside factors, and then it was all on me. And then to come into Battle of the X's 2, where now I'm working with a partner and I have someone that could possibly be dead weight or I could be dead weight to them, there's a lot of outside factors and a lot of stressors involved. And it was a huge change and a huge, you know, brick wall that you run into, because outside of it just being a partner, she was my ex, and she was an ex with animosity still involved and closure not on the relationship, and just a lot of elephants in the room that probably need to be aired out, and we just weren't going to get along from the get-go. So it was a tough adjustment that I don't think we ever even made.
Right. And you guys kept saying throughout the season that really, other than challenge days, you really never communicated or talked at all. So is that really true? You guys really just kept to yourselves in the house?
Never. I don't think we might have. You could honestly probably count the words we exchanged in the house on, you know, in a relationship standard or, you know, a walking by standard on two hands. There was never a conversation between us where we just shoot the shit. It was always, if we spoke, it was about the game, it was about eliminations, it was about challenges, that was it. And there was never any fun talk, there was never even arguments at that either, so I can't argue that we sat down and bickered at one another, because we were just, I stayed out of her way, she stayed out of my way.
And it's interesting, because with you guys staying so separated, you almost drifted to different alliances, you kind of with the banana side and you with the west side. Do you think that played a part in even just future, like in your relationship, of even further turmoil?
Absolutely. That was definitely further turmoil. And it's not like we almost drifted, we did drift. And it wasn't at the very beginning when we first came on the show, the first couple of days there, we did sit down and talk, and she, you know, she watched Free Agents as much as she would tell you she didn't watch Free Agents. She did. She knows everything that went on, and she knows everyone that I was already aligned with coming into this thing. So she gave me the go-ahead that she was going to follow me, and she was going to do whatever I was going to do politically. And I had, you know, power hitters set up politically, and I had a very strong political game and a lot of friends in the game. And as the game went on, you know, she still kept giving me the go-ahead, like, all right, yeah, that's fine. I understand your alliances. They're strong alliances. But what she let herself do was she let herself build friendships. And that's one thing you can't do in the challenge house. You can have acquaintances and then make an acquaintance that you somewhat liked and then go, you know, fish for a friendship post-challenge. But in the challenge house, there is no such thing as a friendship. Your friendship is your friend, your closest friend is your worst enemy in this game. And they're going to be the first ones to stab you in the back. And Avery let herself get all twisted and boggled up and brainwashed, especially by Wes and Teresa. And she drifted into their boat where she thought she was protected by them. And she thought that I hurt her more and more and more and more. But that was huge turmoil, that she went her way with her alliances and I went my way with my alliances. At the end of the day, in fact, me and Avery are supposed to be our only alliance and really the only one that you can trust 100%. And it just didn't work that way because, you know, she had faith in Wes and Teresa and I had faith in, say, Jordan and Sarah, or Bananas and Nani. And Bananas and Nani don't get along with Wes and Teresa, and it just causes a lot of anxiety, a lot of turmoil, a lot of stress. Mm.
And what I was really curious about, the way it all broke out, was last year, you and Jordan were pretty heavy in the anti-Bananas camp, with Jordan obviously doing this whole fiasco of flipping all the cards that go up against him. And now this season, you're pinned for being with Bananas. So one of our listeners, Brandon Lancey, wants to know, what led to you aligning yourselves with Bananas?
Well, it was a long road. I mean, the entirety of free agents, I never once did not dislike Bananas. I think he's a stand-up guy. I think he's a phenomenal competitor, and I think he's, you know, the Hall of Famer when it comes to speaking about the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone, you know, if you can tell your ass from your elbow, anyone that knows that Bananas is someone you want on your side. And when I went to Chile for the final in free agents, I got a lot of, you know, a lot of more one-on-one time, a lot of more respectable time with Johnny Bananas, not the Johnny Bananas that's portrayed on television. Mm-hmm. And I really gained a lot of respect for that man, and I think he's a real stand-up guy. He's a grade A character. And I said in an interview in Chile on Free Agents, I said, if you ever see me back on one of these shows, you can guarantee that you'll never have Johnny Bananas come out of my mouth ever again.
Wow.
That guy works his ass off, and he's definitely one that he had that talk about with Zach this year. You know, if you have alliances with everyone, you have alliances with no one. You need loyalties. You need slim loyalties in this game, because when you have loyalties, you need to prove those loyalties. You can't be proven loyalties to a house of 26 people. You need to choose your one or two top dogs and run with it. And that's the way Johnny Bananas runs his banana boat, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely a place that I wanted myself. So it was kind of unspoken. It's not like I came into the house and I pulled Johnny aside. I pulled Bananas aside and I said, I'm not going to say your name, man, to Brown Nose or anything. I just kind of think he understood where I stood. And then I had his back, and I had his back 100%. That kid has utmost respect for me, that's for sure. And I'll carry on with that to future shows as well. If I'm ever on another one, Bananas is going to be a one or two for me for sure.
Interesting. And what's interesting about also your journey on the challenge through your brief stint is you really have never had that rookie label almost attached to you. Alex Pandemaran says that since your debut season, you're able to get in good alliances with a lot of the key veterans. You've never been like on the bottom of the totem pole. Have you been able to kind of maneuver that?
I have no idea. I guess I'm just a likable person. I mean, I like to pride myself on the fact that I'm not a snake in the grass. I play my game the way it's supposed to be played. I play a straight up game, straightforward. I don't hide behind anyone's backs. I don't stab anyone in the back. I had a chat with Wes. I wish they actually aired that. The conversation that I had with Wes when Wes voted in me and Avery, they only aired the conversation he had with Avery. He had a conversation with me as well. And we had a conversation earlier in the season too, where he confronted me about where I stood. And I said, I got nothing against you, Wes. I don't know you. I never met you, but you're not on my team. You know what I mean? It's 125 grand on the line. And, you know, I'm my number one. And then I have my people that I want to bring me there, or I want to bring with me, and you're not one of them. I'll shoot the shit with you. I'll play polo, or I'll play badminton in the backyard with you. But come game day, you're an enemy. You're an enemy, hands down. And I think that's just what kind of people picked up on me, is I played a straightforward game, because you can respect that. You can respect the fact that I didn't go up to Wes at the beginning and be like, oh man, like, you know, you've been on these shows before. You're a veteran too. Like, let me try to get you in your back pocket. I said, no, I already got my horse saddled, and I know who I'm going with. You're not one of them. That's that. And I think that's where I gain a lot of respect from a lot of people, and I kind of just, I don't know, I gain the majority favor from most. Most of the time, I'm respected and liked, so to say.
Yeah. Just going back to last week, your first elimination of this two-parter when you were thrown in against Adam and Brittany. Avery was, you know, Wes obviously spinned the whole story about, you know, he's really just throwing in you, and that Avery just happens to be attached to you. What did you make of that whole situation when you were trying to talk to Avery and kind of get her to get out of Wes's spell?
I was trying to get her out of Wes and Teresa's spell for days prior to up the Climb the Hill challenge. When we had to do that, pull that door and shit.
Yeah.
And I had told her that when we were going up the mountain that day was actually the most we ever talked about probably politics and alliances. And Avery was already on my last nerve for absolutely sucking her ass off at memorizing this thing that day. So she was already pissing me off. And when we heard as a team, Wes and Teresa had just pulled off the win, my demeanor, my morale completely shifted and sunk. And I was like, fuck. I was like, that's not good. Excuse my language. That's not good at all. And she, you know, she's jumping up and cheering for joy. And she's like, as long as we don't get last, we're good to go. And I'm like, are you that naive? are you really that naive that you still haven't picked up on this game yet? We've been here at this point probably 4-ish weeks by now, and we've done 5-6 challenges. You really need to stop picking up on what's going on around here.
Mm-hmm.
Stop being so close-minded, because we're getting voted in. And I told her that day on the mountain that we are getting voted in. And she was just 100% against it. She's like, no way, they won't do it to me. Me and Teresa are best friends. I make Wes's bed on a day-to-day basis. We're upstairs. We're a clique. We're a thing. And I'm like, you're an idiot. You're an absolute idiot.
Wow. It was amazing to see Wes really turn her against you in that moment. And one of the things that was made no sense to me was her saying, you know, if I'm on my own, I'm not into this elimination. But it seemed like much early on in the season, you guys were saved because of your relationships with other people, specifically, I guess, with Bananas
and
Zach. And
people said that to her. That's one thing people had mentioned to her, you know, more my friends than her friends, that they said, because Avery ruffles feathers everywhere she went. She went into the house. She had a comment early on about, I think people were going around naming the rookies, and they had said Avery was a rookie. And Avery went out of her way to say she's not a rookie. She's not a rookie. She's not an Are You the One kid. She's not an explosion person. She's not a rookie. But this isn't real world. This isn't Are You the One. This is the challenge. And you are a rookie. And by challenge-y standards, rookies are supposed to be, you're not a rookie after your third season, I think it is. So technically I'm still a rookie,
right?
And some others are still rookies. So for Avery to say she's not a rookie, that right away ruffled feathers just like that. And people notice that stuff. So people would say to her early on that, Avery, you need to understand that if you weren't Johnny Riley's partner, you would have been home one or two challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Challenge number one, challenge number two. You would have been targeted very early on. But because she was with me, she got a couple extra paychecks under her belt, so she can thank me for those couple extra dollars.
And then just looking at this week, we had the trivia challenge this week, which is always my favorite, and obviously TJ's favorite. But I was always curious about this, and Zachary Zarnett Klein also asked, how is the order determined for the trivia questions? Like who gets asked when? Because obviously, you don't want to be asked first because it's not really, you know, based on round, it's just based on when you get questions wrong. So how is that determined?
So Wes and Teresa were a power couple going into that. So they got to choose where we sat, and they were very diabolical with that. You could tell where they sat people and who their enemies were, because they sat me and Avery, who they had just voted in previously, so they want us out again. Me and Avery were sitting in the hot seat, I want to call it, because we were the first eligible team to be knocked out. So if you follow me, the way it was asked, it started on the female side, okay, Brian?
Yeah.
And it went all the way down to the end. Avery was the last one on the female side. So she could have gotten next, and then it looped around to start on the guy side where I sat. So if I got bing bang, I got an X, she got an X, we were immediately eliminated.
Okay.
So that was a very good strategical placement by Wes and Teresa, because that was the worst seat to sit in. We were the first eligible team to drop. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, the next eligible team to drop would be that first seat where Sarah and Jordan were also enemies of Wes and Teresa, because they had that first question, Sarah, so they could have gone next there. And then it would loop all the way back around to be Jordan and Sarah again, bing, bang.
Yeah.
So they were very, you know, strategic with it. And I handed it to Wes on that matter. He's pretty smart when it comes to that type of stuff.
Yeah, no, Wes definitely, this is not his first rodeo. He knows what he's doing. And then we saw at the end of the challenge, it was between Jay and Jenna and Jordan and Sarah. And Jay tried to make a deal. Jordan didn't want to, because with you guys already in, he wanted, I assume, to keep Jay and Jenna eligible to be thrown in. So did you and Jordan talk beforehand about if one of you were power coupled, that Jay and Jenna would be the target for you?
No, not specifically. We never sat down and, you know, wrote our burn book about Jay and Jenna getting thrown in that day, but Jordan was, you know, a one or two alliance with me again, and Jordan's been my best friend on these shows since Real World Portland. So we always have that understood, you know, don't need to say anything thing, elephant in the room, where we know we want to have each other's back 100%, and I respect Jordan a lot for that. But I mean, he said it in his power couple dinner interview with Jay and Jenna there, that he would have asked me what I would have wanted. And a team like Jay and Jenna, they're kept around because everyone wants to run into them in the elimination, or everyone wants to run into them in a final, because they're just that weak. So it was a fluke of a day where they ended up pulling it off. I mean, it's not supposed to happen that way. You know what I mean? Everyone kept them around because they figured they'd be a layup in the challenges. They never performed. They were an easy target to throw in if need be. And they were just, like I said, they were that layup team that everyone wants to keep around. So Jordan did it out of respect for me because he probably assumed, you know, Jordan, cocky Jordan, thought him and Sarah, Brainiac Sarah, were going to pull off that victory and then save my ass by throwing in a weak competitor like Jay and Jenna. And I mean, considering the fact is, look at what the elimination round was. I mean, Jay would have been a lot easier to manhandle than Leroy, I can tell you that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so we saw them eventually throw in Leroy and Naya, and that brought back the little flashback montage of the Avery Naya fight from Portland. But I'm curious about where you stand, because that fight really started with Naya attacking you with like the hairdryer. So where was your relationship with Naya and even like Jess going back earlier in the season?
Jess is just kind of like non-existent to me. I don't give two shits less about Jess. I'll say hello goodbye when hello goodbyes are needed. But other than that, we don't speak. Jess is just annoying and a nuisance, like that fly that won't leave your ear. And then, as for Naya, I mean, I'm pretty cool with Naya. I got no issues. Let bygones be bygones. I don't live in the past. I'm not going to hold grudges. That was a shit show, to say the least, in real world Portland. But I moved on in free agency, and I had my 2 cents with Naya, and we did our thing. But I'm not I'm not going to call Naya to have cocktails on the weekend. But I can sit in a room and I can carry on a conversation with Naya just fine. I mean, she's a personality. She's an interesting girl, and I got no problems with her anymore. That's for sure.
That's good. And then, so we saw the elimination, and your battle with Leroy seemed like it was pretty close. So how close were you really to? It seemed like you got pretty close a couple times to hooking him. How close did you really get?
There was a couple times where Carabiner would hit metal and you'd miss, and those things were pretty hard to maneuver. They had the people showing us were like experts, and they were doing all sorts of tricks with flipping them on these clips like it was nothing. But, you know, there's a lot more factors involved with fatigue and wrestling and $125,000 in your back pocket, trying to move forward, trying to get the win, trying to pull this Carabiner down, trying to wrestle this big black man off of me at the same time. And it's just, It was a lot going on. I mean, I definitely came close, but Leroy came close multiple times too. And like I said, there was that someone was going to have that one flip up when they lost concentration, so to say. They took their, like I think I said in the episode, took their eyes off it. I took my eyes off him for a second. You know, I thought I had a good position on him, and I had his back, and he was low on me. And little did I know, he had a carabiner in his hand and was clipping me in. Mm-hmm. It was a battle, but it was a battle I lost.
And they kept showing the timestamp for Avery and Naya that it went at least 90 minutes. So how long was your Leroy's battle?
I think mine and Leroy's was a little under half an hour.
Okay, so still a decent amount of time. So still.
Yeah, but I mean, it was like, not to cut the girls down anymore, but I mean, it was, the girls were aggravating, really aggravating to watch, because it was, me and Leroy were a half an hour of true grit, like grinding, working hard. And after about 15 minutes of the girls, they were just kind of laying on one another and resting on one another, and they'd back off one another and use the carabiner ropes up top to just kind of hang from, and they wouldn't move towards one another. And production had to step in multiple times and warn the girls that they got to stop moving. They got to stop moving. They changed. They were trying to change the pace to let them know that if they don't finish this thing soon enough, then they were going to send the boys back in, because they weren't working. And that's, you could see the animosity in Leroy's face because of, you know, telling Naya to work. And that's the thing. It's like, in the back of your mind, you should always have that $125,000 that's just churning and churning and churning, and wants, you know, that tiger wants to get out of the cage.
Mm-hmm.
Always keep moving. And when you see people rest and break, you know, too far of an extent, it gets on your nerves, especially when it's your partners.
Mm-hmm. Now, it seemed like even you guys didn't work as well in the house, but it seemed like you guys had decent stuff during the game and all that, and you guys ended on decent terms. So, Jacob Bramman wants to know, is there any chance you and Avery can salvage some sort of friendship after this season?
I told her how it is. I mean, I don't mind running into her. I don't mind being in a room with her. I don't mind being on these shows with her. I mean, she's another one I'm not going to call for cocktails ever. I'm not going to ever want to hang out with again. Right. She did wrong by me, and that's as far as I go. I mean, that's one person that you break my truck is broken, and I'll never have anything of any sort ever again with a person like that. So that's how it is with me. But I mean, I'm not going to sit there and cry about her all the time and try to build a relationship or try to build anything with her, because it just, it doesn't matter. So I'll do these shows, you know, I'll be coaching with her, I'll be cool with her, I can be in a room, I'll even have conversations once in a while, ask her how her family's doing and stuff, but other than that, moving on.
All right, that's fair. And I know you guys touched on in the after show yesterday, so I won't ask you even further, but it seems like it's just a case of, like he said, she said, with what happened. But is there anything that you feel that led to the breakup and everything that hasn't really gotten its fair touch? Anything you want to clarify or anything?
No, not really. I mean, I wish they let Avery off really easy on that after show. That sucked. It was like 45 minutes of juicy details they could have used, and they let her off very easy. She looked much worse in the actual after show filming than what they edited it to be. But I mean, they got the gist of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Edward Morris wants to know, what was harder, working with Avery this season or Devin during the final and last season?
Working towards Devin. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, going back there, Devin still owes me $90,000. As far as I'm concerned, yeah. It was that one leg that she just kicked my ass. She held me back. You know, everyone lost. I lost about an hour on everyone because she wanted to sit and wait. So yeah. Devin owes me $90,000. As far as I'm concerned,
that was brutal. Now I have to ask you about Zach this season, because he's either getting a really rough edit or he's just saying some really rough things, because there's been a lot of stuff with him and John A. And then there was that whole conversation, I think you were there with Jordan, about what the whole purpose of women in the world is. So what is your take on Zach and how he's being portrayed, even compared to maybe what you see with him in the house?
Zach is a wild Mustang that cannot be tamed this season. And, he came into this season off a breakup and a single, ready to mingle, and I don't know, I guess he turned on his asshole switch and did his thing, so to say. I mean, the best analogy to use for him is what I just said. He is a wild Mustang that cannot be tamed, and he is just all over the place. But, I mean, the as far as the women thing goes, that was a little too far on all of our parts. I mean, that was just a little aggressive and obnoxious, that's for sure. But I mean, he even took it a couple legs up, but you know, he said the stuff, not me. But as far as the way he treated John A, I mean, John A is just, she's one of those people that just really irks me. So I mean, I never really stood up for John A. Maybe I should have a couple times, but no one really ever did, because she was just kind of on everyone's nerves, and Zach just kind of told her how it is. Was he hard on her? Yes, absolutely. Was he rude to her? Yes, absolutely. Did I care? No, I didn't care.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple more questions. I know you have to go soon, but one of the big twists, obviously, this season is with Exile, and I don't think your battle on Exile has been released yet. At least I haven't seen it, but what is your take on Exile in general? If you guys, obviously, in the house, you didn't know about it, so if it was public knowledge right away that there was an Exile, how would that really have affected either your game or everyone's game?
If Exile was known, that would have affected a lot of people's games. I mean, just the mere fact that knowing that people like Johnny Bannon aren't actually gone, and knowing that fact would have still kept people, you know, sitting up in their sleep and like one eye open. But the fact that they didn't know it, it's awesome. That Exile is really cool. I mean, that was like a second wind when we get brought to our other destination, other location, when we think we're being brought home, and play this video from TJ, and it tells us that we're not out of the game yet. We still have a second chance. It's like, wow, that was awesome. Exile is really cool. I hope they do that in the future.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting twist. It is. One fun one. Tyler Sloan says, you know, through the seasons, Johnny has since morphed into just Bananas, and obviously Avery now thinks you've morphed into just Riley. So what do you think is going to be your moniker going forward, and is there a fruit that you want to identify as?
Is there a fruit that I want to identify as?
to go off the Johnny Bananas mold.
Yeah, I'll be an avocado.
Johnny Avocado. We'll get that posted on your MTV slide.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't mind Riley at all. That's what I grew up as. That's what a lot of my friends from home still call me. That's what I grew up as sports. I was always Riley, so I like when people call me Riley, to be honest. MTV was the ones that always used my first name, but either way, I'm fine with it. Riley, Johnny, whatever.
All right. Last one. Vincent Cloud says, you know, you've done a solo game with Free and just now paired game with X's 2. What do you hope is the next challenge that you'll be on? What do you want the format to be?
I would love to see Free Agents 2 with a draw. I mean, draw was kind of my thing.
That was your thing.
But to switch it up, I would like to see a guy-guy format. Guy-guy partner, girl-girl partner, where you got a teammate that is another man, and you compete against other men. Because playing sports with women is a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is if they did like another Rivals, I don't know who would be your rival. You got to start some feuds with some
thing.
Powerful people.
Everyone likes me. That's the issue. I mean, I gotta make a rival. I guess I should have been a little more rude to Wes.
Exactly. That's what you got to do. but this was great getting a chance to talk to you. It was a lot of fun seeing you this season. Hopefully, maybe you'll make a run in Exile and we're not done with you yet. But where can everyone find you?
Check it out, buddy.
Yeah, where can everyone find you on Twitter and everything?
I think it's at Johnny Riley underscore Johnny Riley. I forget. One's Instagram, one's Twitter. So look them both up.
All right. Thank you very much. If you guys want, you can follow me at Bus Driver's Route and my partner Ali, who's not here, at Lash Tweets. But Johnny, thank you once again, man. Best of luck. Hopefully, we'll see you maybe making a late run to the final.
Absolutely, Brian. Keep watching, brother. Thanks for talking.
Absolutely. Later.